Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis on 93.9 The Ville. The Drive is brought to you by Fitness Market, Louisville's premier location for fitness equipment and in-home saunas. Online at thefitnessmarket.com. Now here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr. Phone lines are open here on a Friday, 8150, 93.9, 3831, 93.9 for the UPS jobs. Text line if you want. It's so, like, I can see it now out of the corner of my eye. Like, this, like your motions in my peripheral vision are such that I'm like, oh, God, he's going for it. Like, as soon as I could just see it happening. So I was ready for that one. All right, that's one.
Welcome to the summer.
Yeah, it's fine.
Not much interaction going. Listen to the calls. So.
I understand. You know, I think one of the questions, like I'm not sure that anyone really knows the answer to this. I know I don't have sort of a firm opinion or idea of where this is going, but like what the role of collectives will be, and you know what they'll be responsible for, how they'll be wielded. You know, in the future, as we move towards, we're not doing amateurism anymore.
Yeah, it's gone.
So exactly what their role is. He was asked about this. Can we play the number five there on how the 502 circle fits in with the school now that they're sort of everyone's moving to that other model?
First of all, they have done an absolutely fabulous job. So how do we integrate them into attracting student athletes to this city, this university? Because it's not, you know, the collectives aren't going away. And so if we have those NIL opportunities, a number of those opportunities, if they come in-house, there's still going to be opportunities outside of the athletic department. What does that look like? And then what are the benefits of those? You know, if you've seen, you know, student athletes might get, you know, a new vehicle, or they might get a place to live, or things like that. And so what does that look like from a collective standpoint? Because they're going to be more well-positioned to create those deals that maybe aren't just monetarily, you know, financial aid or NIL payments-based. So, you know, I think we'll look to continue to partner and work closely together so that we can, like we've proven we have done, attract very good student-athletes to the city and this university.
I think it's pretty interesting, given what it was made out to be at first.
Yeah.
That his description of NIL is what we use to get athletes to come to Louisville. When, like, literally, that was supposed to be the one thing it wasn't.
Yeah.
Remember the NCAA used to say that with a straight face?
Yeah.
No inducements? Remember that?
And I somewhat believed it, actually.
I think I kind of did, too.
At the beginning. No, I thought that's what it would be.
It lasted, like, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe. The coaches can't explicitly offer cash to people.
Right. And we used to pretend like we weren't doing that.
Yeah, pretend like we weren't.
Yes,
we
weren't. And everyone was pretending like they didn't.
Mm-hmm. And now it's just open. And now here, about.
Yeah. The one that believed that might have been Kenny Payne.
He just hadn't figured out. He didn't know the rules had changed.
He's like, I can't explicitly offer you money, so don't come in for the money.
Yes, you can. Literally can. Like, your athletic director should be right is now. Literally.
This is when you're supposed to do.
Like that is what you're supposed to do. It's part of the job. Like, it's literally. Now, it is funny hearing that. I mean, it's funny just hearing talking about cash payments and stuff in college athletics anyway. But that was so taboo. Like, it was literally illegal. Like, not very long ago. And now we've got guys going into the NFL as millionaires. Like, going into the NFL. Like, and now they're acting like it, too. Like, that's why the whole Marvin Harrison thing is so interesting. Because it's like, I mean, I should be able to negotiate.
Didn't Caleb win himself like a penthouse in Southern California?
It's the nicest crib I've ever seen in my life. And he
in
had
Southern California, too. Like, that was not cheap.
Yeah, he was in downtown L.A.
And good Lord.
Like, he probably had like 4,000 square feet in downtown L.A. Like, just imagine.
Holy cow.
Probably like a $10 million condo. Let's call it what it was. It was probably like a $10 million condo, and he was living in it as a 21-year-old.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy? I never watched them play one time.
Oh, he was fun. He was fun.
And for that reason, because it's the Bears, like I have a hard time envisioning the Bears with like a dynamic quarterback and offense because I've never, like in our lives, yeah. We've never seen that.
And he is like, if he's able to reach his potential, he is like going to be one of the most dynamic. Like, because he plays like backyard football.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have to contain some of that because he tries to do little hero ball sometimes too much. But he can deliver from the pocket. Like, he can deliver. He can make every throw. His arm talent, even though he's not that big of a guy, his arm talent is spectacular. So it is going to be weird seeing the end. The Bears have weapons. Like, they have guys he can get the ball to. Keenan Allen, DJ Moore. They drafted Romo Odunze. They got DeAndre Swift in the backfield. Like, their offense could actually be fun. Like, it could actually like be really, really good. And even though they had the number one pick, they had 7 wins last year. So he's going to a 7-win team, not a 2-win team, with a bunch of weapons. They're going to be like must-see TV this year, good or bad. Because like Eberflus, a lot of people thought would get fired. They didn't fire him. And now you get Caleb Williams and all these other pieces. But back to their college point with the collectives. It is going to be interesting to watch how they navigate. Now, he brings up the point, which is true. It's like, hey, we handle, like, our payments, basically. Like, we'll handle our payments, but they're going to, our athletes, our student athletes will still be subject, you know, still have a chance to get outside endorsements. And he talked about, like, cars. Like, we've seen players get cars. I remember famously Sidney Curry had the big, nice Jeep, places to live. We know that these guys have, like, they have their version of the penthouse and, like, the Gold House and the Omni, like there's players on the team that live in these places, like in the condos there. It's really nice. So
that's good. Hey, but given the Gold House thing with Brian Bowen and his family, like the first time somebody really does live at the Gold House because it's cool is going to feel real weird. Right. I'm gonna have, like, eyes going to twitch for a second.
Maybe us, but like it's so far removed and everything is so insular. Like everything's so, we're in such a quick fast, like, come on, Brian Bowen, who is that? Like, so, like kids right now will ask. Cause like that thing happened like what? 7 years ago. Like, kids are in college, remember, like, 11 years old.
I remember I was in Disney World when we got the news that Brian Bowen committed. And I was, like, telling my uncle, I was like, we just got this guy. We did no work to get him, apparently.
Yeah,
it was like, weird. The unofficial visit or whatever. And then it's like, yeah, we know what happened now.
Yeah, Adidas was like, yeah, we got a guy for you, this 5-star. Do you want him? I'm sure. What will it cost? Everything.
Yeah. Like, how much time do you have?
It will cost everything. And sure enough, it did. So I am curious to see how collectives in the university moves forward when the university can make actual payments. I mean, and especially up to $20 million. Like, what does that look like? Can that be a bolster to you? Will you continue to have campaign funds and match funds when you know majority of your payments is coming directly from the university? Like, the evolution of collectives will be interesting because you know that the university is on the hook for $20 million. Okay, what am I giving $30 a month towards? Like, what is that going towards if they're getting their money from the school? It will be interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if it will decrease a little bit of the just straight up cash transfers, right? Like, from fans donating or boosters donating to collectives and such. It sounds like Josh is expecting at least some of that to where, like, no, the just the cash from us to you comes from us.
Yeah.
And the NIL becomes maybe more of what it was sort of originally intended to be, where like once you're here, more tangible things. Like I imagine a lot of like businesses would be happy to at least sort of have their product out there more than just sort of cutting you a check.
Yeah.
And that might feel better to people.
It will. I think it will, because like you said, it gets back to the original purpose. Like the only reason why NIL became a thing is because guys couldn't even get a sandwich. Yeah. Like they couldn't afford to get their own. Like if somebody bought them a sandwich, they were in violation of some sort of dumb NCAA rule. And so now when you're getting to where the school pays the money, but the business, hey, you post these social media flyers, you get a free whatever, like whether it's a car, gym membership, a place to live or whatever, but it's in exchange for you doing a service, that is getting into what I think. I mean, this is what the pros do. Like pros just don't get money from endorsers just for the sake of it.
To
like,
go play for the Bulls.
Yeah, like that's not what they do. Like you get, you right. endorse the product. Right. Whether it's Gatorade, Nike, you know, Adidas, whatever, you endorse their product, you're in commercials, you're in ads, you show up to events that maybe you don't want to or don't show up and not get paid. You know what I mean? Like, but there's consequences to these things, and there's a transactional piece that takes place and not just here's money because here's money. You know, here's money because you play for Louisville. Like, no, you're going to get your money from your employer, which would then be Louisville, but then if you want to do business with us, you're going to have to do something for us. And that is how it's supposed to be, because that's how it is for everything and everybody else in the rest of the world.
No, so that would be cool, but also like illegal. It's like we're a server at the Caps. We'll give you a minimum deal. Just come here, but we're gonna have like Detroit. It's like Ford Motors will pay you all this money if you show up for us, like the Pistons. Like it's not illegal, but it'd be so cool if it happened.
Right when you talk about like a professional franchise doing it, you're like that's embezzlement.
Yes,
like this is what are you? This is
cheating.
Like with NIL, yeah, it evasion. Feels, NIL now feels like bribery.
It's all it is. It's literally. Like, all
I'm
it just. Is.
I'm literally going to give you cash for you to make the decision I want you to make. Not anything that's actually beneficial to me.
And
I can't imagine anybody really wanted it to be like that.
I mean, and think about it. You have players suing schools. Like, we talked about the Jalen Rashada thing on here. Like, he's literally suing a school that he doesn't go to. And it's
because they didn't pay?
Because they didn't pay him.
And the coach's named the lawsuit.
Yes.
Which Napier should be gone, but that's another story.
Yeah, he named the coach. He named the donor. He named the guy that was on the call or whatever. Like, all because they didn't pay him the money that they said they were going to. And he never plays. And it wasn't like he ever played there, right? He just enrolled. Yeah. He wasted his time. Yeah. He's basically like, you wasted my time. And I could have got a similar deal from Miami. So I lost that deal thinking I had your deal. And your deal wasn't true. So I ended up at Arizona State. Now I'm at Georgia. Like, it's just all around the world. So that's stupid. I think people want that type of stuff out of the game. I don't think, for the most part, people care about kids making money. But kids basing their decision on where to play only off NIL money, I think, is what bothers people.
It was super funny to see Sarkisian
in
the interview saying, like, we don't want these guys where it's like solely transactional. And like where they were, they had to walk through like a fleet of Lamborghinis and stuff, right? Like to get into the building. And then he does this interview where he's like, we don't want it to be about transactions.
Yeah, they kind of stitched it together. Like, yeah, you don't want to
close the blinds behind him while he's talking about that.
Yeah, as we have like every luxury car in the city of Austin on our football field right now.
But here's some stock in some oil company.
And you know, the funny part about that is the same people would tell you in the past that Texas didn't do that sort of thing because they didn't have to.
Yeah, they were above that. Yeah, right? They were above
that. Why would we pay? We don't have to.
We're Texas.
And now immediately when you can, you start.
Come on. I mean, because duh.
Yeah.
Because you have to keep up with everybody else, and you can't be the team and or the school that's not doing it.
Yeah, that is
you can't be that team.
That is that's such a college sports thing.
Yeah.
That like no one wants to be the school that doesn't do something and then they don't win and they never hear the end of it.
Absolutely.
Look at Clemson.
Except for them.
They're the only exception to the rule. It's like, we don't care. We're going to keep doing this way.
How much longer? Because the only reason why he isn't getting – he's getting a ton of flack. The only reason why he's not getting more is because he's a two-time national champion. But how
– Yeah, he's bulletproof.
Yes. But when does some of that shine – it's starting to wear off. How many more years of not taking transfers in 8-4 seasons until that sandpaper continues to rub against that shine – And it Like, you're seeing chinks in the armor now. Like, people are saying things about Dabo and about Clemson that, honestly, 3 years ago, 4 years ago,
yep,
would have never thought.
You're right.
Like, whoa, Dabo's lost his fastball. Like, Dabo and Clemson aren't the team or one of the teams in college football. And now, like, we don't think of Dabo and Clemson as one of the premier teams in college football. We don't even think of Dabo and Clemson as the premier team in the ACC anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that mantle.
We do talk about them like past tense.
Yes.
We like, do. Yeah, and that might not be right, but like we do.
No, absolutely. But when you go 8-4, right, you look mortal. Like, you look more, and for yeah, they, a long time.
They were, no matter what they were doing, they weren't going to do that.
No. Yeah. Like a bad year for them was 10-2.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, a bad year. Yeah. Like, but now, a great year for them is 10-2. Like, they went from going being, what, the first team to go 15-0 ever to 8-4 to playing in bowl games against Kentucky. Like, that's what's happening. And how many more 8-4, 9-3 seasons until people are like, okay, we're sick of this, man. I'm watching Alabama lose Nick Saban and still win 10 games. I'm watching Texas has passed us. LSU is still in the mix. Now, Oklahoma is now probably passed us, potentially. Like, I'm watching these SEC schools and some of these Big Ten schools do what we can do, because it's not like Dabo and Clemson don't have money. They have plenty of money in Clemson, South Carolina. It's not like we can't afford to do it. We're just choosing not to.
Michigan was embarrassing a few years ago. Like, the 2020 year was awful for them, which it was awful for a lot of teams. Mm-hmm. But Michigan was not what we thought they could be. And then, you know, sure, lo and behold, they go 3 straight years, beating Ohio State, winning a championship this year, dominating the Big Ten.
And they've passed Clemson.
They passed Clemson, too.
They passed Clemson, absolutely.
We used to dread ourselves going to Death Valley. And oh, absolutely. It's like, it's still going to be a tough task, don't get me wrong, but it's not.
Oh, we can win that.
Yeah.
No, you're going in like, yeah. I'm not saying we're going to win, but you're going in pretty confident. Like, there's some time.
We can win.
Yes.
And there was a while we didn't even really feel that.
Not at all. Like, outside of Lamar years, I don't know if we felt too calm. Like, this year, it's not saying we expect to win, but we got a chance.
Yeah.
We definitely have a chance. And that is a lot more than what we've been able to say in the past.
Let's get Bob in here. Bob, thanks for waiting, bud. Welcome into The Drive on 9th and the Ville on a Friday. What's up?
Hey, guys. I have a question because I guess talking about what we are about paying players and yeah. then you have NIL for the players too. Do you think we'll get to a point where when we sign a kid for football or basketball, it could be the other sports, but where we sign them to multi-year contracts to play, and you know they still have the NIL opportunity, and I could see if they do that, then maybe the it kind of stems the tide of transfer portal guys that go here every year, and then the other thing is like in football. Is you have kids that after they, you know, they're finished with the college year, the regular football season, they half of them don't even play in the football college bowl games.
Yeah.
So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but you know that could be an incentive. But I'll let me hear you guys out. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Bob. Thanks. Yeah, the like multi-year contracts and that sort of thing, all of that stuff, is really only going to come about when they're collectively bargained with.
Yeah, as far as enforcing it, because it yeah. exists already. Like the Jalen Rashada thing was yeah. a multi-year thing. Like it exists, and the team reneged. Drew has been on these airwaves and been very, you know, open about. What happened in Kansas with his Hunter, I can't think of his name.
Dickerson?
Hunter Dickerson. He said he signed a 2-year, $4 million deal. Like, he's open and said, I know the guy that wrote the check or whatever. So, like, those exist already. It's just not binding because there isn't a collective bargaining, like, agreement. Like, so I can sign that, but I can still transfer. I just won't get paid. Like, I can do one. Say if I signed a 2-year deal, I could sign it and get paid for the first year. And as long as I didn't take money for the second year, I can still leave and I can't get sued or anything. But like, so there's not anything like attaching me, but the multi-year contracts for collegiate athletes already exist. Like that exists.
But not with the school.
But not with the school. That is very true. That is very true. But the collectives have multi-year deals already. Multiple guys that you all know have already signed them. But the thing is, because the portal is still alive and well, they're not contractually binding. As long as they didn't take the money, or if they only take the money for the first year and decided to bail on the second year, they're not forced to stay, because like you said, it's with a collective and not with the actual school. Now what that will look like with the school will be interesting, but I don't think, unless there is a, and it's hard to go backwards, but unless there's a limit on transfers or some kind of rule adjusting the portal, I don't see even that working. Somebody's still gonna finagle their way out of, even if it's signed with the school, with some kind of hardship waiver or whatever. If they want to get out, they'll find a way out, unless the transfer rules are adjusted. And I don't know if they're going to be.
Yeah, I think the transfer rules are just too far the other way restrictive.
Yeah.
That's like, you can't go back to, like, you just can't go back to, like, oh, you have to sit a year, or, you know, one time. Because they tried the one-time thing, but then everyone was getting the second year. It's like, yeah, here, just take it off, except for, like, one weird case.
Well, and now I think the NCAA is convinced. Like, they're scared of their own shadow about transfer restrictions at this point.
Yeah. Like, they keep losing.
They're the only one that they're willing to hold on to right now is academic ones, because I think they feel like that one is enforceable without sort of being utterly one-sided.
Yeah.
Because these are schools after all. Will collective bargaining and treating them like a that you have to negotiate these sorts of things will create maybe some trade-offs where you can have that sort of thing? Yeah, probably. But I like, if players think that they're going to get more without giving up anything, like from here forward, that's not true either.
No.
And I would encourage, like, the agents, these people that, like, you have a real responsibility here to just be thinking about the enterprise kind of as a whole, because nobody is. But like, people are not going to continue to just donate to these collectives for payments to players with no protections.
Not at all.
Like right now, it's real new.
Yeah.
And it's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But like, after the 13th time Penny Boone does what Penny Boone does,
mm-hmm.
it's, you are going to have a lot harder time convincing people to fund that sort of thing. And while some might, a lot of people won't. And you're going to end up killing off the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to commit yourself at some level.
Well, I think to that point, I think when the schools get involved with their millions, they're going to tighten it up. Like, this is the most wild, wide open this is going to be. But when big business gets in, it's like going corporate, right? Like, you're a small mom and pop shop. You do things the way you want. Okay, now we were just bought out by a corporation. The rules about to change, because I'm not playing with your money anymore.
Yeah.
I'm playing with mine.
That's true.
And mine means a lot more to me than yours did. Yeah, I could, you know, screw off and let somebody steal $50,000, $100,000 from you because it came from you. But I got a budget $20 million now. I can't lose $50,000, $100,000 or whatever, $1 million because I wanted to screw around. That goes for the individual schools and the conferences, because they're going to put pressure on the conferences, which then puts pressure on the NCAA or whoever the governing body is. And these schools with their $20 million, you know, it was one thing when it was the collective, because the collective technically isn't part of the school. It's another thing when it's actually coming out of athletics budget. And we just talked about budgets. These budgets matter. And so I'm not going to let somebody run off with $100,000, $200,000, $1 million, whatever, when I have to budget for that. And that's coming out of my pockets. And some of us don't have it as much as we should. So, yeah, no, I think the belt's about to get tightened up once the schools have to directly pay as opposed to the collectives.
And I just think, while it's new, but you're just not going to continue to get people to do this. Especially high profile guys, and then just have them leave after a semester. Like, because that, whatever you think about pro sports, like, you can't do that.
No, you can't.
That's not pro sports.
No.
Antonio Brown's maybe the only example of someone who did that, but that's because he just made it untenable with the Raiders. And sorry, Jeff, I know you're a Raiders fan on that.
Well, and look where he ended up. He's on Twitter today calling Bill Belichick a pedophile.
Yikes.
Oh, I missed
arguing
that.
Arguing with Lane Kiffin.
I did see the Lane Kiffin back and forth. It's all the Lane Kiffin back. Yeah, CTESPN. That's Antonio Brown.
That's rich coming from him.
CTESPN.
And the three of us all at one point or another rooted for him.
That's exactly right.
I definitely did.
For one short season, he was an angel.
One short week.
It is remarkable what they were able to, like, that may be the best argument for Tom Brady's that, like, by and large, Antonio Brown behaved.
Yeah, at first, anyway. You got him to behave year. When it mattered.
Like, through a Super Bowl, right,
the next year. Yeah, you got him to behave when it mattered.
That dude tore off his shirt and ran out of the
stadium. In the middle of a game.
In New York in December, November.
I've never seen anything like that.
And you never will. Again, possibly. Like, it's like
there was the Bills guy that retired at halftime.
Yeah.
Yeah, the corner.
Devontae Davis?
Yes.
Devontae Davis, yeah. But
that's like, pretty funny, too.
But at least he, like, retired and, like, discreetly.
He didn't, yeah, he didn't go AWOL.
No.
He's just like, I don't have it in me to go out anymore.
Yeah, and Rams like, I don't have anything in me.
Yeah, because I'm not getting the ball. Like, that was it about. It's like, I'm not getting the ball, so screw it, I'm out of here.
Like,
and I'm going to make a scene.
Yeah.
Talk about memes.
This dude
that became a meme.
Cryotherapy barefooted, though. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, that was the Raiders thing.
Yeah.
He didn't want to change his helmet. And he did cryotherapy, like he burned his feet
I've
off.
I've done cryotherapy.
Yeah,
he did a balloon thing. He like came into practice on a balloon or something.
A hot air balloon. Yeah. Yeah, he came in a training camp on a hot air balloon, but fought and even had John Gruden fight the league to try to get this stupid peanut helmet that we had at Mill High School in 2010 approved by the NFL. Like the NFL.
That's the irony of the CTE ESPN.
Yeah,
now,
it's
right?
That's stupid. Like literally, the NFL's in this $10 billion lawsuit because of concussions. So they're like, hey. All these garbage helmets that we let y'all get away with for years, we kind of got to get rid of those. Kind of got to upgrade the helmets. And he's like, oh, no, I love my helmet. I want to keep my stupid little peanut helmet that's 20 years out of date. And he's like, oh, to throw a temper tantrum, I'm going to do cryotherapy with no shoes on, no socks on, just bare feet, and burn my skin of my feet off. I'm a receiver. Like, all I do is run and cut and jump. The only thing worse would have been doing something to your hands. Your hands and feet is what you need as a receiver.
That's what you are
literally,
for a living.
It's literally what you do for a living, and you just got a massive contract.
You're like a kicker doing that.
like you just got a massive contract. That was able to be voided, by the way, because he did the stupid stuff. It's stupid. I mean, just the idiot, man. He's dumb. Are you insane? Are you insane? Yes.
Yeah,
he is. Yes, he is.
And maybe the only one that like ruined a Hall of Fame career with the way it ended.
And that's the thing about the NFL Hall of Fame. Speaking of that, like, they take this stuff into consideration.
No mercy.
Like, T.O. took, like, what, 4 or 5 years to get in?
Yeah, I think it was his third try. Like, but he's, like, second or third in every receiver category. And T.O. was nearly the nutcase that Antonio Brown is. And T.O. has better numbers than A.B. So A.B. is going to be, like, pushing it. They're going to let him in, I think. He's just that good. His numbers are that good. But it's going to be 4 years.
Not until he shows something, right?
Yeah.
Like, baseball's the one that's more strict, because baseball's like a morality clause with their thing, so, like, they can actually decide, like, you're not a good person. We are not going to put you in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, which is so stupid.
You got all these, like, degenerate gamblers and...
And they're steroid
alcoholics
guys.
And
yeah, they're steroid
a lot
guys.
Of, right.
Like, let them in. Like, it was fun. We loved baseball when they were all on juice. it was the best.
It doesn't feel right to say it, but yeah.
Yeah.
It was way more fun. It's like, this shortstop can now hit 47 home runs. It's great.
Yeah, after
this career, is just like when I play on the Xbox.
Yeah, and it's... Yeah. And it's 12th year in the league.
Yeah.
He's all of a sudden,
after a career of 11 home runs a year.
Like, it goes to year 15. He's the greatest baseball player ever. 15 years
every
of his career.
Every other player in the history of baseball's career stats go kind of like this. And then, better than I've ever been.
What's going on? And his head size grew three hat sizes. It's like Barry Bonds went from like a 7.5 to like a 9 hat.
I would have respected it so much more if they were just like, I am. Isn't it fun? That would have been so much better.
Canseco did.
Yeah, that's true. Not the model of mental health either. Tim, welcome into the Drive, buddy. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Jeff?
Hey, buddy.
What's going on, Mark?
What's going on?
Hey, didn't have a whole bunch, but I wanted to pine in on one of my favorite players of all time, Antonio Brown. And, if I were the NFL, I would just, whenever they go to trial, I would just pull up the Vontez Burfict hit and just put it on. And I would just say, you're welcome. If it wasn't for this, we wouldn't have given the world put that on and the AB dance.
That's a good point.
I think are his two career highlights. And the other point was like, I guess you got to give it up to the Steelers. They really know what they're doing. I've always been
no
a big fan of that franchise. And all the coaches they've had since, you know, I've been around on this planet.
Just like three.
they let, you know, him and what was the running back?
Le'Veon Bell.
The one that ended up when it was like time for a big payday and got roasted for it. And they both went on to two of the biggest cataclysmic collapses in like the last 20 years. So they certainly know what they're doing. And then the other thing, I don't watch a whole lot of baseball and I don't keep up with it, but I don't know if y'all saw, and this kind of goes to where pro sports, I think, are changing too. Cause I, you know, for some reason it made me think about people like opting out of bowl games and how it pisses off fans. But there was a pitcher last week who got pulled in the seventh inning with a no-hitter, and he only had 90 pitches, and he had already thrown one no-hitter this year. And I'd never heard of him, but you know how, like, there's, you can count on a couple hands the people who've had two no-hitters in one season. But I'm like, we got a professional pitcher getting pulled with 90 pitches with a no-no, and it's just like, and he already had one, and it's, like, perfectly considered normal. And I think, like, we just have to understand that that usage thing everybody hated in, like, the NBA is just going to take over sports regardless. These are assets that are not looked at on a game-by-game basis by ownership and coaches. But, hey, have a great weekend, guys. Be good.
See you, Tim. I don't disagree with that at all, do you?
Mm-mm, not at all. Analytics. I mean, it's part of what's taking place.
I don't disagree with what Tim was saying. I hate the – like, I am – pro analytics, so no, don't take this for me to be saying anything other than that. But I do hate that element of it.
Stupid.
Where you're seven innings into a no hitter, like throwing a no hitter is still awesome, even if it's like analytically unjustifiable. Let him have it,
especially only 90 pitches. Like it'd be different.
Like, in the end, this is entertainment.
Yeah, if he was in the 120,
we're not building
count,
things. This is not a factory.
No.
Supposed to be fun.
Like, who was the Chargers coach last year that got fired? That was
that guy.
Staley. Yeah,
Staley.
He was so analytically driven, but it's like at some point you got to go with the human element of like
there is an
who
art.
You're facing
it's
here.
An art and science. It's not art or science.
No, you have to. The human element still matters. Like, and like you said, it's still entertainment. Like you're playing to win, but that gives you the best case chance to win. Yeah. The guy that's throwing the no-hitter and it's seven innings in.
Yeah, because there's no stat that quantifies what it's like to have a guy who's thrown two no-hitters already the rest of the year. Psychologically, like like that seems like that doesn't get baked in nearly enough.
Like, he's still in his moment, too. I think you're still in his moment. I mean, that sucks. Like, he may not ever get another
pitch. And
how does
that play out, right? Yeah. Like, is he pissed off the rest of the year and is less of a pitcher than he ought to be?
It's a chance. You know,
like that stuff,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes ruthless, analytically justifiable efficiency. Like, yes, mid-range shots are statistically unjustifiable. But if you have somebody that can make them, it's awesome when they do. When I could back you down and just hit this shot anywhere I want, like that is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you got like a 7-footer that's just like backing down like someone like 6'9", like a mismatch, and you're in the mid range, yeah, just put it up there.
Kevin Durant.
I'm gonna start trying to drive from just inside the 3-point line here. Good luck trying to stop me. And that's a terrible shot, but not when he does it.
Yeah. Got to make it make sense, man. Like. Everything doesn't have to just be about numbers. These people are people, too.
Yeah, and baseball is definitely the worst with the analytics. It's like, oh, well, the third time through the lineup is definitely the worst. It's like, no, go for it. Like, if it starts getting bad, then yeah, yank.
That's
yank
what him. Makes a no-hitter great. Yeah. Let him have it. All right, let's take our last break. We haven't done so. We'll come back. I did want to play him discussing Dan McDonald. Josh discussing Dan McDonald. So we'll wrap things up with that here. On the Drive on Thunderville. Be right back.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling. You're listening to The Drive, presented by Fitness Market, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Mark Ennis and Jeff Lightsey Jr.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Jeff Lightsey Jr., just a little bit left here before we wrap things up. Send you off into your weekend. Everyone get on Twitter real quick. Watch the latest video that just came out a couple of minutes ago from the basketball program. And then we'll all try to just overly diagnose whatever we can figure out from this one here as quickly as possible. A lot of working out in this one, which is kind of all they can really do right now. Everybody got it?
Getting there. All right. Here we go.
Listeners, everybody.
All right. I'm ready.
All right. This is the proverbial new coach, new strength and conditioning guy. Off-season video where everyone gets to say, we thought we worked hard before, but now we're working. Like, this is cliche stuff, but we have to love it.
Hey, why not? It's ours, so of course we love it. We may hate on everybody else's, but it's ours. We love ours.
And, absolutely.
I'm with it.
I already love Eli Foy even more for this.
Fans really do. Like, God love college sports, man, because we don't do this with the NFL.
No.
And I don't know what it is, but like strength and conditioning coach whipping these guys into shape. Like, we college fans, like, we eat that up.
No. Like, it's always funny when the NFL PA does their like list of like the rankings of like facilities and like trainers. It's like, hey, this team has terrible trainers. Like, okay, I guess.
Yeah, the Chiefs are dead last in like everything, and they just keep winning. So what does it matter?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, it evens out.
Yeah, it was funny because like I always think of that, like, Xavier Worthy, who came from Texas, you know, where they have everything, and he walked into the Chiefs facilities for the first time and was like,
"A step down."
Oh,
significant.
There's no water slide here.
Oh, okay.
Where's the water slide?
Yeah. Where is anything at? Like, you guys, it's like you guys are still living in the 1920s. Like, you guys don't even have internet in here. Like, what's going on? And yeah, that's because they go home. They work out and then they go home. They don't live there. And yeah, so no, we do eat this stuff up for in college sports. And it's funny that like we, especially because we've been like deprived of a lot of this stuff recently, really are into it. Like, oh yeah, show me more.
Oh, we're fiending for this.
Eli Foy.
That's like, right.
show me more Eli Foy. Like, this is awesome.
That's exactly right. All right. So one takeaway from watching, because I wanted to make sure I watched it a second time before I said anything. Why is Cason Pryor the only player in the video wearing white? Everyone else
wearing black shirts.
All black shorts and shirt. Cason Pryor alone in white. What do you think that's about?
Is it rebellious?
No, I was thinking the other way. Like,
okay,
maybe they do. Remember what was Chris Mack did? It was a gold jersey for like the hardest practicer or whatever, right? Remember that? Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder if it's something like that where it's like we're competing against this guy who can take him down.
Hey, I'd like it. I hope so. I hope that's
the case.
Look
like he's like being a prima donna in the video at all.
Mm-mm, not at all. But I hope that's the case. I hope it's that. I hope it's like, hey, he's the standard right now. Who's going to replace him as the standard? Like, week to week, somebody is setting the expectations. They're setting the standard, and maybe it's been him. And I hope that's the case, because that's a lot to get excited about. If it's Cason Pryor with his attitude, his ability to play, and he's working that hard potentially. Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Anytime you get these guys being competitive, because again, they're college basketball players, D1 athletes, like they're automatically competitive. But if you get them competitive in practice and like they want to show up and outwork.
About workout.
Yeah, it's like we want to outwork you so we can be recognized for, and then it's only going to make the team better.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, your Bahamas trip, your first one, and then you also have TBT. And you're going to get some runs with Montrezl Harrell. You're going to get some runs with Chris Jones. You're going to get some runs with Russ Smith and Siva and all these guys, and that's only going to help too. That's what I love about TBT.
If Cason Pryor is half of what Montrezl Harrell was here, I'm sold. Like, give me that energy all day long.
Be nice to have. Be really, really nice. Really, really nice to have.
This looks fun. I'm thrilled. I'm absolutely thrilled. Texas, I think he's wearing white because they didn't have the right kind of shirt to play. That would be.
Yeah.
Good old Tyler. I probably shouldn't tell you this. All right. I said we would play the clip of Joshua talking about Dan McDonald. And in particular, I think about discussions about what does he need, that sort of thing. Here's what he said. If we could play that.
In relation to one of the items that was previously approved, but we haven't talked to you since the end of the baseball season, have you and Dan had any conversations about what he expects moving forward and what you expect?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think I talk to head coaches pretty regularly. And Dan and I, we had conversations, you know, right up through the end of the season. And, you know, look, Dan's highly competitive, and that's why he's been to 5 College World Series, and that's why he's one of the best baseball coaches in the country. And, you know, I think it was really a matter of circumstance where a building gets, you know, essentially, hey, we're going to do this. You know, COVID hits, and, I mean, everything just gets blown up, absolutely blown up. And so don't want to totally take that off the table, but we're going to look for, you know, we did the locker room, and then I think we're going to try to do something on a little bit smaller scale, maybe in right field. You know, if we get the donor support there. I feel like Dan and I are, we've had good conversations, and I'm excited about the future of the baseball program. And, you know, you look at some of the transfers that he's got coming in, you know, it's, I think our baseball program's in good shape right now.
That sounds good.
Yeah, what do you make of that?
It's a step in the right direction. I don't know if it's completely what Dan wants, but it is a step. Like, it's a step in the right direction from the athletics point of view, like from Josh Hurd and his stance. And then you've seen the change from Dan. They've taken 2 transfers already, like high level, you know, transfers that were high on the market, and they've now been acquired and are going to be on Louisville baseball. Basically saying, hey, you're not going to get the building just yet because COVID kind of derailed that, but we're going to do something in right field. I think in the budget there was like $3 million allocated towards Jim Patterson Stadium, so that sounds like what he's talking about. And you're doing your part by going out getting transfers, and they're not done from what I've heard. So it sounds like everybody is in cohesion, like, hey, something needs to change. It could change from us, but we also need something from you to change. And if that means going out getting transfers and doing it a little more like what college athletics is today as opposed to what it's been during the course of what your 17 years here, let's get up to speed. And I think everybody's obliging.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to note that, like, I think the article has it, how little revenue baseball brings in.
Yeah.
Especially compared to what I think we would all like them to spend on it to make it good. Baseball programs at a lot of places, I think, are going to be one of the first places where people look at, like, okay, this is exciting. And especially come summertime, like, it is pretty good advertising for us. But in terms of revenue, like, we're spending a lot versus what you get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think the revenue for you for baseball is $250,000. So when we're talking about spending $3 million, you know, to do something in right field or, like, Matt McGavick, I think he was just being honest about what he thought. Like, it'd be better to just blow it up and start over the baseball stadium. But, like, for $250,000 a year, like, I think some schools are really going to have to look at whether they want to do that or not. I don't think Louisville's one of them, but not everywhere is going to be able to even do that sort of thing.
And the added scholarships now. Like, we know with the new rules that came with that is more scholarships are being allowed for baseball. And so, therefore, like you said, we always like, oh, the scholarship, it's null and void to, like, yeah, to football teams. Like, yeah, that shouldn't be your compensation. But when you're total revenue is $250,000, you're adding X amount of scholarships, like, that's $50,000 a year, let's just call it. I mean, on the light side for tuition, whatever. So $250,000 to every scholarship that you don't dish out, that's $50,000. Now we're talking real numbers. Like, now, like, those scholarships actually do matter. And adding more does matter because it's going to make the cost of everything go up, whether it's travel, food, room and board, whatever. Like you said, for a sport that had a revenue of I didn't realize it was that low, $250,000 a year. Oof. Yeah,
and look, it's obviously not straight, like, ROI, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like they're going to cut the program. I'm not saying anything. No. I'm just saying, like, when you think about big-time expenditures to keep up with places, they are going to have to at least think about what you're going to get back on it.
Mm-hmm. You have to, naturally.
Like, volleyball makes almost 3 times as much revenue-wise as baseball does. And I don't know how many people necessarily would have thought that.
I wonder if that's just because baseball's been so down lately, or if I'm trying, because baseball probably has more home games, you venture, because of the weekend series and whatnot, but Volleyball's been really damn good, and they've also
They
had a move to the Yum Center for a handful of games.
Yeah, and it's not. I don't even because when we say down, it's just they haven't made the tournament. Yeah, but they haven't been like under 500 down. Like they haven't been bad. They've just been bad compared to themselves. Like they've been bad compared to Louisville. But so that number is probably still on par. Like it's not far off. Let's say okay, it's 250 now because they missed the tournament. The teams that make the tournament say it's 300, 350 maybe. Like, it's still a very, very low number compared to that volleyball number. Oof. Man, 250 is crazy. I didn't know it was that low.
I would not have guessed it was that low. I definitely would have. I don't know where I would have thought, because I don't know what, like, Tennessee or A&M's bringing in baseball-wise.
I wouldn't have said anything under half a million. I just naturally thinking. But it's actually, like, half of that. Like, which is crazy. Like, I wouldn't, like, I mean, think about it. Because, like you said, even.
I guess on some level, the whole, like, I'm not sure I would have thought they were revenue at all. I mean, we don't even charge for tickets till a couple years
they
ago.
They don't. Yeah, that's true. It was free for a long time.
And non-con, like, Tuesday games are normally free. Also, like, Kentucky or, like, Vandy or whoever. But, yeah, there's only a handful that they actually charge. It's the weekend series.
Look, I'm not against what they're planning to do. But I think it is at least worth recognizing. It's for the first time in a really, really long time. Like, I think they have been passed in some facilities, at least in baseball. There are a bunch of teams in the ACC with better facilities. I think they probably have more like year round use of them and stuff like that too. Weather is a factor here. It is.
It's but true.
There's some work to be done there.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Like, next year is going to be big for them because we are investing.
Yeah.
Like $3 million was budgeted into upgrading Jim Patterson Stadium. So we're investing. It looks like you're changing some. You're bringing in these transfers. You're doing what needs to be done, doing what modern college athletics is. But the results got to change as well. Like, it has to be results driven. It just can't be, hey, we're all changing. This is kumbaya. We're spending money. We're getting players. But the results are going to have to bear that. And that's what's going to be. So what happens if you miss the tournament again next year after $3 million was budgeted, after McDonald actually does take transfers? Like, now we're talking about, like, it getting really, really shaky if that were to happen. Like, that's why next year is going to be a big year for them.
Yeah, I think there's a lot on the line about what they're going to be able to do. Like, I think if nothing else, like, you're not just going to be able to throw money at stuff without any kind of results.
No, that's the thing. Like, a lot of money, too. Like, you're talking about $3 million. That's a lot of money. For even at your apex, you can't really make that. But then I'm giving you all this money and I still don't get results. Now we're going to have to reevaluate some things. And we thought it was reevaluation time this summer. Like, we thought, like, this offseason, there may be some change up or whatever. But you can't miss the tournament after I just put $3 million into your program.
Yeah, but you know what else you can't do? Have a buyout for your baseball coach. Right? Like, we just, like, we're talking about the, like, we can't have
you can't do
Papa John and four coaches and then, like, millions tied up. Like, you just can't.
Every
can't.
Day I thank Cincinnati's AD for not, what a for dream. Just taking him off. Because remember we had this honest discussion of, do you fire Satterfield throughout that season?
It was going to be fire or extend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somehow.
And if we
split the difference perfectly.
Yeah, because if you fire him, like, do you have the money to go get Jeff Brohm at that time? I don't even know, but Cincinnati did the favor for us.
Well, they weren't going to fire him. Like, that's the thing. Like, Josh was willing to just let him play out his contract, and he's like, no, I want an extension. I'm like, well, kick rocks. If you think you want you think you get an extension here.
Extend this.
Yeah, like, it was like, well.
I hope he said that.
I'm going to go hit the market. Extend this.
Yeah. Like Andrew Dice Clay. Yeah. Just.
And it's like, hey, you think you can hit the market and find something better? Go for it.
I encourage you to go explore your options.
And he did it. Thank you, Jesus.
No kidding, man. Thank you, Jesus. I saw them pick like 14th out of 15 or whatever in the Big 12.
That's too high.
Yeah, second to last. I can't remember. I don't even remember who was last.
Arizona State, maybe?
I don't. Yeah, maybe.
I don't even know. I was just thinking like some random team that joined the conference.
Yeah. I think I said they have 15 teams. Is that that's not even right, is it?
It may be because like the Pac
16 is something like that.
Because the Pac 12 of those four schools joined and they weren't at 12 last year, were they? Because the numbers never make sense anymore.
They have 16?
I think they do have 16 teams.
I just remember
I think they had 12 teams and they added four.
Yeah. I just remember there's at one point the Big Ten had 12 teams and the Big 12 had 10 teams. And I was like, just switch names at this point.
And then of course, like when the whole like corporate sponsorship thing comes out, they're like, we might just keep the 12. Like we'll be the All-State 12. Like why would you keep the 12 part?
Yeah, because it's not even 12 teams.
Yeah, be the All-State Conference.
Yes,
because that's what you are.
Like I was glad the Pac then 10 was like, we're just going to change the times. We got 12 teams, Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I know how many teams are in this conference. Like, 8-10s are like 15 teams, I think.
And somehow stupid SEC just keeps it all right tight in the SEC. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this actual Southeast.
Yeah.
Jerks.
Do we really count Texas as Southeast?
It's not really East.
Yeah.
It's South. They don't consider themselves the Southeast.
And Oklahoma's here, definitely not.
Which is weird.
East.
Yeah, no, not at all.
It still stays contiguous, though.
It does. It works. No, it works.
Oh, I hate it.
It definitely works. Like, they didn't go out and get USC and kind of butcher everything. They got two schools that are relatively close to, like, their travel time still isn't extended drastically like everybody else's.
The Big 12 goes all the way from, like, Orlando to Provo, Utah.
Yeah, and then the Big 10's got a team in Rutgers and a team in Los Angeles. Like, and a team in Washington and Oregon. And, yeah, it's all just nasty. And they're playing game kickoff time start at 9 p.m. Eastern this year. It's disgusting.
No, midnight Eastern.
Is it midnight?
It's 9 p.m.
No, it's 9. Yes.
Pacific.
Oh, my God.
That'd be great.
And I'll probably watch a quarter of that game, if anything.
Is this all
how late can a Rutgers game start for me to hate watch it?
Yeah, there's no way I could watch
it. I mean, it was hate watching a lot of Colorado games that were on at 2 or 3 in the morning last year.
True. Now, those are actually entertainment, though. That's true. Like must-see TV.
They find ways to lose.
Win, lose, or draw. That's must-see TV because they're entertainment. Like, they are the pinnacle of entertainment. Because the thing about college sports, the coaches don't really give you a lot. Like, the big time.
Oh,
like
that's right.
They give you, like, little sound bites. Like, you'll get Nick Saban, he used to give like little sound bites. Maria Taylor going off on her, or Kirby when they had a microphone in his locker room.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he
yeah,
talked
yeah.
about
right.
stomping the hell out of somebody.
Yeah,
like, but they're not gonna do that on purpose.
Yeah,
except for one.
Yeah, that's right.
Deion Sanders. Yeah,
maybe Lane Kiffin. That's about it.
It may be Lane, even Lane's is a little snarky.
Yeah,
it's kind of
right.
like, you know, but Deion's is like very.
I don't care.
Yes, very flamboyant. I'm gonna make a rap song during the off season. Like, that's what I'm on after winning only 4 games last year. I'm going to
imagine what we do when I win 8.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I might go buy an island or something and let you know about it, too. That's the thing.
Right.
Like, other coaches do these type of things. They just don't talk about it. He's going to do it and let you know and film it all. Like, film everything.
Do you think he's their coach next year?
No.
Yeah, this is it. I think so, too.
No, he's going out with Shador.
I think you're right.
He's going out with Shador. Shador and Travis are leaving. He's out of there.
I think you're 100% right.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone enjoy your weekends. You've been listening to The Drive on NFL. See you.